Lord God Almighty, anoint my lips that I may faithfully proclaim your holy word. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. A number of years ago, my in-laws regularly went to a monthly meeting of the travel log held at the local high school in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. A travel log is basically when a person or a couple presents slides of a recent trip. Yes, I said slides. So it was back in the mid-1990s. The purpose was to inform those in attendance about a place, a landscape, or a culture, and perhaps as a secondary goal to persuade them to visit that certain location. As we move through the remainder of the book of Acts, we will be hearing the gospel going to various places in the Roman Empire, places that we know of. In fact, if you have a map with sufficient detail, you could put a push pin and mark that spot. Various vacation Bible school courses and other Bible studies have showed the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. But one possible weakness of this approach, this is not just a travelogue of the Apostle Paul. One possible weakness of this is that it places more emphasis on the places, the culture, and the historical circumstances that were happening during that time that he was there, and not enough emphasis on what he actually said while he was there in regard to the gospel. So as we look this morning at Acts chapter 11, which Luke wrote, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, we're going to be focusing on the gospel going to Antioch. And we'll consider 4 points as the gospel was brought to this city. Point number one, the Antiochian mission is initiated by anonymous evangelists. Luke had written in Acts 8:1, that as a result of the persecution which broke out after Stephen's martyrdom, believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. Now Luke resumes this same narrative about the scattering of the disciples. Acts 11, 19 and 20 says this, "So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus in Antioch, speaking the word of the Lord to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus." This report of believers scattering after the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts 11 includes a much broader area where believers were scattered. Acts 8:1 speaks of them being scattered through Judea and Samaria, but this scattering includes Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Phoenicia was a region within present-day country of Lebanon, directly north of Israel. Cyprus is an island off the coast of, northern Israel, so it would be northwest of Israel, and Cyprus would be northwest of the extreme border of Israel. And Antioch is the most distant, northernmost point from Jerusalem of these three spots. In fact, Antioch is some 470 miles north of Jerusalem, and Antioch is in present-day Turkey. The time of Luke's writing, the estimated population of Antioch was 500,000, which put it at the third largest city in the Roman Empire, following behind Rome and Alexandria. Antioch was also a quite cosmopolitan city in that it attracted people from all over the known world. There was a sizable Jewish community in Antioch, but the city also included people from Persia, India, and China. Antioch was absorbed into the Roman Empire in 64 BC and became the capital of the imperial province of Syria. It is here that I want to touch on the content of what these anonymous evangelists were saying in their message. The substance of their message was that they were preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, when Luke says they were preaching the Lord Jesus, we have to take into account what has already been said within this book of Acts about the lordship of Christ in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and other texts as well. When we take into account what was already been said about Jesus of Nazareth in the book of Acts, when Acts 11:20 says that they were preaching the Lord Jesus, that is shorthand for the saving acts of Christ and his life, death, and resurrection, and his person as well, that he was truly God and truly man. And so all of that is entailed in saying that they were preaching the Lord Jesus. Acts 11:20 speaks of some Christians proclaiming the gospel to Jews only, while men of Cyprus and Cyrene preaching to Greeks as well. These were people who lived by Greek custom and culture. We see this then, the repetition of the gospel expanding to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Acts 11 verse 21 goes on to say this, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number of people who believed turned to the Lord." Here we have the combination of faith, they believed, and repentance, they turned to the Lord. The 19th century Baptist minister Charles Spurgeon called faith and repentance the Siamese twins of conversion. In other words, in the faithful proclamation of the gospel, the Christian gospel, Christians need to talk about Jesus as Lord, the divine Son of God and our Savior, that is, in his identity as Lord and Savior in his life, death, and resurrection. But a faithful telling of the gospel must also include what our response should be to the lordship of Christ, and that is faith in Jesus as he has been revealed and repentance when we turn from our sins toward God. And so that's the message of these evangelists, these believers who were scattered abroad after Stephen's death. Second point is that the Antiochian mission is endorsed by Barnabas. Acts 11:22 through 24 says this, "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord." Barnabas was sent from the church in Jerusalem to look over the church in Antioch and to report back to the church about the spread of the gospel. As I said earlier, the distance between Jerusalem and Antioch was over 470 miles. Now place yourself within that time period and that mode of travel. To take this trip required a commitment of time, energy, and money, and someone did not decide a trip of this undertaking without a forethought of whether this trip was worth it. And so the church in Jerusalem, by the very fact that they send Barnabas, are saying that this mission has a high priority. Barnabas was a trusted leader, a man with a godly reputation, who was full of the Holy Spirit and a faithful follower of Christ. And when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God active in the church in Antioch, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with resolute heart to persevere in their faith in the Lord. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement, and he lives up to his namesake as he encourages believers to persist in their faith in the Lord Jesus and their service to him. The third point, the Antiochian mission is consolidated by Saul. Acts 11, 25 and 26 says this, "And he's referring to Barnabas, left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Barnabas left Antioch and searched for Paul in Tarsus." Now, the distance between Antioch and Tarsus is 147 miles. Both Antioch and Tarsus are in present-day Turkey. Saul and Barnabas served this church for a year, teaching and discipling the believers in the Christian faith. The text does not lay out the specifics of how they taught fellow believers, but we can surmise that it was consistent and throughout their time spent in Antioch, that they taught and preached the Lord Jesus not only during the worship services of the church, but probably also from house to house in both public and private settings. They were strengthening them in the depths of the Christian faith. Barnabas and Saul spent themselves in service to the Lord in his church as they labored for a year, preaching and teaching and grounding the believers in the exposition and application of the gospel of Christ. Before I move to my fourth point, let me briefly comment on this phrase in Acts 11, 26. "And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." While Christians go by other names in the New Testament, such as the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, disciples and followers of the way, the label Christian came to the forefront of how followers of Jesus would identify themselves. And it happens in Antioch. It's also interesting to note that the name Christian did not come from Jerusalem or from Rome, but from Antioch. Jerusalem was the center of Jewish worship. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire, but the label Christian came from this city, Antioch. Fourth point, the Antiochian mission is authenticated by good works. Acts 11, 27 through 30 says this, "Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders." Luke grounds this moment of history within the reign of Claudius, who reigned from AD 41 to 54. It's difficult to pinpoint an empire-wide famine during this time, but Josephus, a Jewish historian during this time, wrote of a great famine during the reign of Claudius, which oppressed the people of Judea, so that many people died for lack of what was necessary to procure food. Luke does not record the prediction of this famine for the sole purpose of saying people were warned ahead of time, but he did it for a purpose. The prophet's name, Agabus, is listed, but Luke's greater emphasis in this passage is how the Antiochian church responded to the news of this famine. They showed in a real and concrete way, through their generosity to Judean churches, that they considered themselves brothers and sisters in Christ, part of God's family. These principles of generosity should characterize the Christian church. And it is not by accident that Luke calls the Jerusalem recipients of the Antiochian givers brothers. This brotherhood included both Jewish and Gentile believers, and their unity was strengthened as these churches helped other churches. And so even as the Jewish church sent Barnabas to Antioch to strengthen the believers and others who came to the Lord through the message of the gospel, when the people of Antioch heard that message and they knew of the dire need in Jerusalem, they gave materially back to the church in Jerusalem. May God strengthen the church universal in our day through the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord, and as we apply the gospel in the sharing and the receiving of God's good gifts. Sometimes it takes as much faith to receive help from others in the body of Christ as it is to give it. May God give us grace both to receive and to give according to God's will and purpose. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, deepen in our hearts the message of your holy word and gospel. Instill in us reverence and love for you, O Lord our God. This we ask in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.